Hey everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to Miles on the Grid. I'm your host, Miles. In today's episode, we are going to be discussing the Silverstone Grand Prix. Now, I don't think we have time to go through every single thing, whether that was from qualifying on Friday, down to the sprint race on Saturday, which I missed, but I managed to catch up on the results afterwards. But then also the race and the massive crash between Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton, what that meant for the race, how the other drivers reacted to it, how pundits reacted to it, and team principals as well, which we'll get into. But also looking at the implications of what this means for the title fight this season, where it could go, what could happen, and what we definitely don't want to see. So yeah, let's get straight into it. So, just to pick up on the sort of pre-race festivities, Silverstone is back, or was back on the weekend, and it was the first race weekend where we had a full house of spectators. Now, make of that what you will, but I'm not going to get into the semantics or the politics or even the health issues around having a full capacity crowd, but there were 140,000 people at Silverstone on Sunday, and across the total race weekend, I think it was 356,000. Which is pretty immense and a really nice way to start having full capacity crowds back in. One thing that was quite interesting to see was the amount of McLaren merch on sale, which is a good thing, I think. For many years, McLaren wasn't necessarily seen as the team to support, particularly during the 2015 to 2017 years. But I think the resurgence of Lando and Carlos last year, and then also Daniel Ricciardo and Lando, working with Quadrant as well, and creating Quadrant, has really put McLaren on a different map, especially when it comes to younger viewers, if I'm allowed to say that. But yeah, it was good to see the support. And of course, there was support for Lewis as well as a bit of support for Valtteri, which is quite cool. I saw a couple of Finnish flags as well. And boy wonder George Russell did amazingly as well. So looking at qualifying, it was held on Friday this time. We had a single practice in the morning. And with the new sprint format, for those of you that didn't follow, the sprint race or sprint format was something similar to what was done in F2, but with different rules. So the FIA, Formula One's oversight body or the race body, decided that they wanted to attract new viewers to the sport or keep attention spans throughout the race, which has its merits and it also doesn't. However, this meant that they've introduced a sprint race at three different tracks this year, Silverstone being the first one. Now, what this means is that qualifying is held on the Friday. It then means that the winner of qualifying, or the person who normally would gain pole position, would be the person to start from pole in the sprint race. And the order would be determined that way. The sprint race itself would be held on the Saturday, and that would also allocate points to the top three finishers. So in this case, it was Max Verstappen, and then it was Lewis Hamilton, then Valtteri Bottas. In this occasion, those three, or whichever running order finishes in the sprint race, that would then form the running order for the race. So it's a bit of a tricky one, but it was interesting because we saw Mercedes bring some upgrades, some changes to their barge boards, as well as changes to their floor this weekend at Silverstone. Something which mimics the setup that they had in Japan 2019, particularly with the floor. Well, in Suzuka, but they removed that quickly after. But it also goes to show how much work they had to actually do in order to come back in line with the regulations, or up to speed, up to the same speed with the other teams with the new floor regulations for this year. But yeah, they brought new upgrades, and Toto was semi-pessimistic about the impact that they would have, and Lewis and a few others were playing it down. But Andrew Shovlin, Mercedes track director, emphasized, I think, early in the week that it would be quite a significant upgrade and quite exciting. And I think we saw that. So, yes, Lewis got the benefit of a toe with Valtteri Bottas. Make of that what you will, whether Bottas is playing the team game or not. But on Friday, Lewis qualified first, and he was really, really pumped up about it. He was waving to the British crowd. He was excited as anything. And I think it was a bit of a stepping stone for Mercedes. They'd seen that they were able to qualify or out-qualify Red Bull for the first time in, let's say, like five races, I think it was. For the first time in five races, they were able to out-qualify Red Bull. And you could see Lewis was pumped up about it. He was even going faster, I think, nearly by 5 tenths on his final lap. But he started to lose the rear of his car on the second to last corner on the penultimate one. So, yeah, it could have been a really interesting qualifying. That being said, Max and Sergio did struggle with tyre warm-up. And it was a known issue throughout the weekend that they wouldn't necessarily get enough heat into their tyres. So Red Bull could have said, look, we've set up the car for race pace, which I think they did. And then Mercedes could have said, look, we wanted to test out the new upgrades and really show some dominance in qualifying. We didn't know which setup was going to work better. So heading into Saturday and the sprint race itself, Verstappen got a really good exit. Or should I say start off the line against Hamilton. He started in second on the inside of the track. And he was even warming up his brakes to the point where they were actually on fire. And when I was looking back at it on the replays and the highlights, I thought that it was going to cause a natural issue and then actually take him out of the race. Thankfully, it didn't. And what we saw is Lewis and Max start to tussle and start to battle on track for, let's say, like the first three corners. But once it got to the straights, or I think it was it the second straight? I think once it got to the second straight, Max was just able to take off. And he ended up finishing ahead of Lewis, which Lewis wasn't too happy about, and Mercedes weren't too happy about. But what that did is it showed us as fans where exactly the race could be won and lost on a Sunday. And I think that was quite interesting. You know, sprint races are something which I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of, or I wasn't the biggest fan of how it was formatted, with pole position being given to the sprint winner. But if that gives you a preview of what the race is going to be like, that could either be a really positive thing, because we could see different teams try out different things, or we could see something that we necessarily don't want to see, which is a boring procession. Thankfully, that wasn't the case in this instance. But we also had Fernando Alonso, who was doing an absolute madness, carving his way through the field. And it reminded me of Alonso in 2015. The track eludes me. I think it was Suzuka, again, where he made up about 8 places on the first lap. Here, I think he made up about 6 places. But he was just carving his way through, hugging the inside of the track, overtaking on the outside. Whichever way he could find a way to make up a position, he did. Unfortunately, for George Russell, it wasn't as fantastic. We saw an incident between himself and Carlos Sainz, which resulted in a 3-place grid penalty for Russell. And Russell had done amazingly in qualifying. He managed to put the Williams into 8th place, well, technically 7th after a penalty. But George is just outperforming that car. He seems ready for the Mercedes seat. The only issue is, would he be a willing number 2 to Lewis, like what we saw with Valtteri this weekend? And I'll touch on that in a second. Or would he be what Lewis was to Fernando Alonso, coming into the team really exuberant, really happy to be there, and expects him to fight for race wins and pole positions at the same time? And in essence, someone that could take a point away from Lewis. So just something to think about. Sergio Perez, he didn't have a great qualifying, and he actually ended up, I think it was 5th in qualifying, and then in the sprint race. It didn't seem to go his way. He had a spin, and then he ended up having to retire the car because the damage was a little bit too much, and Red Bull wanted to save some parts for Sunday. A bit of a concerning one. And when it came to Valtteri Bottas, and I know I'm just skimming over this, but there's a lot to get through. When it came to Bottas, he started on the soft tyre in the sprint race, trying to get ahead of Verstappen, but it just seemed like he cooked them too early and wasn't able to lay down any sort of challenge, because this was a 17-lap race where there was no tyre management, no pit stops. So it was literally just a flat-out acceleration to the finish, and Bottas unfortunately wasn't able to do that. So yeah, it wasn't the best of things for him, but he maintained his third position. And Charles Leclerc came into qualifying, well, he qualified 4th, which was fantastic. And once again, he's another example of someone outperforming their equipment. And for myself, I do honestly think Charles Leclerc is the best qualifier on the grid. I've said it many times in either WhatsApps or to people on the phone, and I'm going to put it out there. I love Lewis. Heck, I love Max. I think that they're fantastic qualifiers. Lewis is potentially, well, Lewis is the best qualifier in the history of the sport. But right now, for someone outperforming their car, that's Charles Leclerc. Every single qualifying session, bar the last two. So for me, I just think he's a talent for the future. And it paid well for the sprint because he was able to maintain his fourth position as well. But going into the race, I had high expectations. I seriously thought that Lewis and Max would have a tussle all the way through lap one, two, and maybe even three before management started to kick in in regards to their tyres. But from the minute that the lights went out, it was just go, go, go. Max, I don't want to say that Max is a dirty racer, because I won't. But Max and Lewis took off. They absolutely took off, and I don't think anyone could get quite close to them. We saw the onboards of Charles Leclerc and Valtteri Bottas, and they were a fair bit away, a couple of seconds at least. But Lewis and Max were going for it every single corner, giving each other space, slamming the door shut when needed. And then there was a couple of instances where they banged wheels or touched wheels, and I thought, oh, this is getting a bit aggressive. Dare I say, like, we haven't seen this level of anger from either of them. We've seen them touch at Imola in Italy. We've seen them touch at Barcelona, or almost touch at Barcelona, where Lewis had to back out. But I thought, maybe something's about to happen. And you know when you just get that weird feeling and you're not too sure why? Well, as they're going through Copse, which is one of the high-speed corners, and according to Christian Horner, the highest-speed corner on the racing circuit this year, Max and Lewis were going side by side. Now, after looking at analysis from Karim Chandhok, former racing driver, so he knows a lot better than I do, we saw how Max and Lewis were taking slightly different lines. Max was going wide initially to try and give Lewis space, and Lewis was trying to squeeze up the inside of Cops. Max started to turn his wheel once again towards the apex, which I think he has the right to do, given that it's the racing line. But he looked in his mirror from the onboard and actually saw that Hamilton was there. So I thought that he expected Lewis to back out, and I thought Lewis expected Max to give him a bit more space. But they had one hell of a crash, and it resulted in Lewis's front wing being damaged and also almost costing him a DNF. But scarily, it resulted in Max Verstappen having an impact going into the wall. I've managed to see the footage on YouTube from a couple of spectators, and it looks absolutely scary. That's a 51G impact. Now, ordinarily, no one should be able to survive that, right? But thankfully, the way that the monocoques, and the F1 chassis are developed and constructed these days, meant that Max was able to get out of the car. Yes, a little bit shaken, but most importantly, he was safe. Now, the issue lies as to where blame should fall. So, like I said, neither driver was necessarily innocent. Lewis is going up the inside at a really fast corner, and I think his car even potentially started to understeer whilst he was on full lock. Max, on the other hand, closed the gap, and he thought that Lewis would back out, and Lewis thought that he would back out. In my eyes, it was a racing incident, and nothing that should have been penalised. Or if it was penalised, it should have been what it was, which was a 10-second time penalty. Now, there's many, many people who disagree, and I'm not going to get into this. If you want to have a conversation, please feel free to at me on Twitter, at F1Miles. But it was such a weird incident to look at. And for those of you who maybe have just started watching F1, there's plenty of incidents in the past where crashes have either gone bad or where drivers have intentionally tried to take one another out, either for the purpose of a championship race or for the purpose of a race win. This was not one of those incidents. Now, I know Christian Horner and Toto Wolff were going back and forth over race radio to Michael Massey, the FIA, race director, but this was not an intentional thing. One could say that it was intentional by Lewis to try and stick a wheel up the inside. Another could say that it was intentional by Max to try and close the gap when he saw that Lewis was there. It was a racing incident. And I think the most important thing is that Max was unharmed. Heck, that Lewis was unharmed. But that we were able to see Max climb out of a car safely and get to hospital for precautionary checkups and CT scans and etc. So I didn't necessarily appreciate how Christian Horner conducted himself afterwards. But then again, I'm not Christian Horner. At that point in time, he's probably seen a friend of his go into the wall and thought, mate, anything could happen, which is fair. So I can't criticize him for that. But what I wasn't necessarily a fan of was how he kept on calling Hamilton a dirty driver and how he kept on acting as if it was intentional by Lewis in order to stick Max one out of the championship race for that particular race at Silverstone, but also for just slandering his name, which I don't think was quite nice. And then with Toto Wolff, him trying to send Michael Massey an email in the middle of a race, and Massey saying, "Toto, I don't check my emails, come upstairs, talk to the stewards." That in itself was a little bit weird because it could appear that there was a little bit of bias. But yeah, main thing is that Max and Lewis were safe. So what that resulted in is it resulted in Charles Leclerc then assuming the lead of a race, and Lewis getting a 10-second time penalty. So Lewis was able to continue, which was okay. And as a Lewis fan, I admit, I was quite happy to see him able to continue the race. Leclerc had a couple of engine issues, either his engine not being in the right mode or loss of power, as he kept on reporting over the radio. Now, for me, I thought that he was potentially the driver for the weekend. He managed to hold off Lewis and the rest of the team, including Valtteri Bottas, for over 50 laps. Yeah, in a Ferrari that's not necessarily known for its straight line pace, and is better in the corners. Charles Leclerc was able to do something which I thought would be quite great, especially when thinking about honouring his late godfather Jules Bianchi as well. But the 10-second time penalty that was given to Lewis was served at the pits, and then Lewis started to close that gap. Initially, he was flying, then he did a bit of management, and then when he realised that he could get past Lando Norris, he went for the move, which Norris quite kindly gave him. He didn't actually offer up any defence, which I thought was quite interesting. And then Valtteri Bottas was basically told to move aside because he wasn't having the greatest of races, and on his fresh set of tyres, which he had stopped on earlier in order to sort of match Norris on his slow stop, he wasn't able to put the pressure on Leclerc. And Leclerc was sort of sailing off into the distance, and it became, what, lap 44, I think? And it was about a 10-second gap, and I was thinking, yeah, okay, Charles has got this. Great race. Lewis had the penalty. It's not a thing. Charles deserves a win because he just kept his nose clean, didn't get involved in any incident, and really just drove his heart out. But Lewis did that thing which he's able to do better than most racers, if not any other racer on the grid right now, which was extract the maximum amount of performance from his tyres whilst at the highest speed. Now, Lewis was on the hard tyre, and he closed that gap. I think it was like a 18-second gap to Leclerc, and he closed it within a good 15 laps, and with 3 laps to go, he passed Leclerc on the inside of Copse once again, at the same corner that he had the tangle with Verstappen, and he passed him there. So one that showed me that you are able to pass at Copse no matter what was said during the race about drivers do not pass there, and as Tiff Nadel pointed out on Twitter, you can pass at Copse. But then it also showed me that Lewis was able to overcome the deficit, regardless of the fact that, he had the 10-second time penalty, and it brought a whole different dimension to the win. Was it well deserved? Maybe not. But did Lewis drive an impeccable race post-collision in order to take the win? Yes. So it draws so many different conclusions, and fans were going absolutely back and forth on Twitter, to say in the nicest word. We had people accusing Lewis of dirty driving and attempting to do harm to Max, and vice versa. Lewis, following the race, did celebrate with the British fans quite enthusiastically, and I thought maybe he should have pointed out a few things about Max's safety or shared some concern. because it did look a bit insensitive, if I'm honest. But he felt like he's been the one to always back out of situations and never to be the aggressor. And Max was tweeting from hospital that, you know, the celebrations were disgusting and unsportsmanlike. Helmut Marko was calling for Lewis Hamilton to be given a race ban. And now on Tuesday, they've been looking at the possibility of raising legal action against Lewis and against Mercedes. So it's all become a bit nasty, if I'm honest. And it soured the results of everyone else who did quite well in the race. You know, you had Leclerc come second, which was nice. I think it was his first podium of the year, despite being on pole twice, which was interesting because they were both poles like behind the basis of a red flag. We had Lewis in the win. We had Bottas third, who effectively sacrificed his race for his teammate. And I could say that Bottas sacrificed his whole weekend, but yeah, he did the right thing because he just didn't have the pace this weekend. Further on, we had Lando Norris, who drove in a really good race. Really good race. If it wasn't for his slow stop, he could have been fighting for a podium. Daniel Ricciardo, once again, he was on it. You know, I think this weekend finally showed that Daniel Ricciardo settled into his car. Excuse me. And he does have the necessary pace to either defend, which he did against Carlos Sainz for nearly, 20 laps? And Sainz was always within, let's say, like 500ths of a second behind him, and Daniel Ricciardo just made life extremely difficult. So massive congrats to him. Fernando Alonso and Carlos Sainz, they drove really good races. Sainz was unfortunate, once again, with a slow stop. And I think Alonso had a bit of a slow stop as well at Alpine. I think it was around 5.4 seconds. So, yeah, it was a weekend of slow stops, but they drove really good races in order to achieve their positions. And then people who may have necessarily gone under the radar, but Esteban Ocon and Lance Stroll, so Lance Stroll in eighth and Ocon in ninth, they had really good races as well. I know Stroll was complaining a little bit about vibrations or a possible puncture with his tyre at one point, but it was a helicopter causing some turbulence that was going overhead. And then Esteban Ocon really needed this weekend. You know, he's been on the back foot for the last four races now. I think ever since France, he hasn't necessarily out-qualified or come ahead of Fernando Alonso. So with the new chassis that he was given this weekend and with the confidence that hopefully came with that, he was able to make it into the points, which was really nice. Not necessarily on the same level as Alonso, but, you know, Alonso is an all-time great, and a feature will come out about him later on this week. And then to finish up the points, we had Yuki Tsunoda. And I thought this was a weekend that, once again, like Ocon, he needed. Tsunoda's been fantastically fast to name a few instances, but he's also had moments of complete despair, like when he's crashed out at Imola and when he's had offs in France and a few other places. So I'm just really happy to see him back in the points, and hopefully that will continue to push his confidence forward. But just to wrap up, just looking at the weekend as a whole, it was a good weekend, a really intense period of racing. And I think with the crash between Lewis and Max, it's going to result in some, hopefully not dirty racing, but it's going to result in some hard racing going forward. You're going to see two title contenders who now have a gap of just 8 points between them and a gap of just 4 points in the Constructors' Championship between Red Bull and Mercedes. Go for it on every single track. Will Mercedes necessarily and Lewis have the pace at Hungary? Maybe, maybe not. But it's a track that, once again, that Lewis has won, I think, five times or four times. So, you know, there's a possibility. And then how will Verstappen react? Will he be someone that will take it on the chin and say, you know what, I'm just going to still continue to go for the corners that I think are mine and see what happens? Or will he look at potentially backing off and then overtaking Lewis on the straights? Who knows? I don't know. But I'd be happy to get your thoughts on Twitter. Feel free to message me at F1 Miles or Miles on the Grid. But yeah, thank you for listening. Those are my thoughts. And please do let me know what you'd love to hear more from the podcast. It's fantastic that so many of you are listening, and I'd be more than happy to continue to make this a, an interesting topic or an interesting forum for you. So have a great week, and I'll see you at the next race. Bye-bye.